For me to live is Christ. For me to die is gain. Every moment in between, there'll be joy and there'll be pain. I can't worry about the future or change a thing about my past. I've got this moment to believe, and I'm gonna make it last. I am filled to be emptied.
This is Pastor Michael Rogers from The Jar at 702 H Street Northeast in Ardmore, Oklahoma. Thank you for listening to our broadcast today.
Our message tonight will focus on Luke 7, 18 through 35, and I'm going to let Pastor Kerry get that going up there for me. But in order to get the full picture of our text tonight, we have to make some review prior to these verses. And I kind of think of your favorite TV show when it ends abruptly and says, to be continued. And you go, man, I got to wait another week. Well, I'm going to give you a quick recap so you don't have to wait a week, thank goodness, okay? We need to see what's happening in the prior passages so that we understand where we're coming to tonight. Jesus's ministry was in full swing. If you go back to chapter 4 of Luke, it's when Jesus was tested in the wilderness. The devil was testing him, and of course, Jesus cleared things up for old Satan, put him in his place, if you will. And then also in chapter 4, he was rejected in Nazareth. He drove out impure spirits. He healed many. In chapter 5, he calls his first disciples. He forgives and heals a paralyzed man. And he's questioned about the Sabbath. But he continues sharing words of wisdom to those who would listen. And the centurion had faith. And he raised a widow's son. Now, all of this was done. All of these events were done by Jesus, were done for people, not for a political stance. He came to do for people. Amen. John the Baptist and Jesus have known each other for a long time. Okay? Remember that in Luke 1:41, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greetings, the baby leaped in her womb, and Mary was filled with the Holy Spirit. John recognized Jesus from the womb before either one had entered into this earth. So there was that connection automatically. He recognized Jesus even as the Messiah. He baptized him at the Jordan River. So I think it's pretty safe that John knew Jesus. Amen? Amen? Amen. Now I want to tell you a little bit more about old John the Baptist. He was faithful to God. He pointed people to Jesus. He was a prophet. He was a forerunner for Christ. The man had a reputation, and who wouldn't when they lived in the wilderness and ate locusts and wore animal skins? You know, in today's world, we'd call him very eccentric or a little out there, to say the least. Again, all of this aside, John and Jesus knew each other. And I will be honest with you, when I started reading this text, it came to me and I was just like, man, I am so confused. And when Pastor Michael kind of gave me the synopsis, you know, John is not understanding Jesus's ministry, and Jesus has got to set him straight. And I'm like, how can you set John the Baptist straight? Well, he had to be set straight because John was in prison at this time. It tells us that in Matthew 11, verse 2. He was there because he had taken a stand, and he kind of pointed out that old Herod, Antipas, had married his brother's wife. Kind of called him out on some things. And how did he hear about Jesus' acts? Well, John was in prison, but everybody was talking about it throughout Judea. Even sitting in a prison cell, he's going to hear this. Also, because John had his own disciples. Okay? We're going to get to Luke 7, 18 through 35, and I'm going to break down some things for you. Verses by little verses. So turn to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. And we're going to be reading 18 through 35. All right. John's disciples told him about all these things. Calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" When the men came to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, 'Are you the one who is to come, or should we be expecting someone else?'" At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sickness, and evil spirits, and he gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleaned, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." After John's messengers left, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear expensive clothes and indulge in luxury are in palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you. More than a prophet, this is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." All the people, even the tax collectors, when they heard Jesus' words, acknowledged that God's way was right, because they had been baptized by John. But the Pharisees and the experts of the law rejected God's purpose for themselves because they had not been baptized by John. Jesus went on to say, "To what then can I compare the people of this generation? What are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling out to each other, 'We play the pipe for you and you did not dance. We sang in a dirge and you did not cry.' For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say, 'Here is a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' But wisdom is proved right by all her children." Now, I know that's a long passage, and again, we're going to kind of break this down little by little to kind of help us understand it a little bit more clear. John had disciples, okay? This comes and tells us, maybe. I'm not going to worry about this tonight. John had his disciples, and that was found in John chapter 1, verse 29 through 40, okay? Andrew was one of those disciples. John clearly recognized Jesus as the Messiah. And John may have been in doubt because he just didn't understand Jesus' ministry at that time. Possibly because John wanted to see a political statement. Here he was in jail for doing what he thought was right, okay? Making someone accountable for what they've done. But he was in jail. He didn't see a political act of Jesus rescuing him, and so he was starting to have some doubts. He was seeing and experiencing a time of darkness in his life. And again, filled with doubt. And I think we probably have all been there from time to time. I want you to kind of keep that in your mind. Well, verses 20 through 23, the absolute power or ability to perform miracles was in action. Jesus was continuing on. His miracles were being performed left and right. We hear this. And his power is known throughout all Judea. It was being done in a personal but yet humble way. Most of these miracles fulfill some promise found in Isaiah. There's going to be a lot of verses. The blind to see, Isaiah 61:1 and 35:5. The lame walk, Isaiah 35:6. The deaf hear, Isaiah 35:5. The dead live, Isaiah 26:19. The poor hear the good news, Isaiah 61:1. Jesus wanted John and his disciples to have assurance that he was the Messiah. And he wanted to remind them that he wasn't going to be a showboat about this. He wanted to meet people's needs and not do political work. That was his reason for coming to this earth. Not to be a politician. I know we often see shirts that say Jesus for president. Well, that's not what he wanted.
That's right.
He wanted to come help people see the right and true way. The verses that said, blessed is he who is not offended because of me. You know, Jesus wasn't about meeting the expectations of people. Because, you know, they were going to be offended no matter what. He wasn't about delivering the Jewish people from the Romans. He was focusing on those who were not offended that the expectations were not met yet. Hear that again. He was focusing on those who were not offended that the expectation was not met yet. In verses 24 and on, this is where Jesus reconnects with the people. Okay? The crowd around them had heard what the disciples had asked, coming from John. And he wanted to help them and to continue to understand about John. And I kind of like this because it shows that Jesus was not going to let John be in a bad light. Okay? So, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? Jesus explained to this crowd that John was a great man. Plain and simple. He didn't live in his own comfort. And he didn't live for the approval of others either. John was a chosen prophet of God. And he was a man not trying to please everyone else. He was trying to please God. He says, behold, I will send my messenger ahead of you. Who will prepare a way for you? Jesus was actually quoting Malachi 3, verse 1 here. And about the coming of John, because the prophets themselves were not prophesied, but John was. Back in Malachi, it was prophesied that John was going to come. I want you to remember this. John was steady. He was not shaken easily like a reed. John was sober in that he lived a discipled life, not in love with the luxuries or the comfort of the world. John was a servant, a prophet of God. John was sent as a special messenger of the Lord. John was special in that he could be considered the greatest under the old covenant. John was second to even the least in the kingdom under the new covenant. Yet the one who was the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. John was great. He was not born again under the new covenant. This kind of made me think when I read this in my commentaries. He lived and died before the completion of Jesus' death and resurrection. I never put the two and two together. So see, I learned something this week too. Therefore, he did not enjoy the benefits of the new covenant. 1 Corinthians 11:25 on that one. Jesus realized this too. I think on some sense, Jesus knew that John was not going to see his full completion of his ministry here on earth. Okay, he knew that he had predicted his death and everything in the future time coming. But he knew, so I think some part of him, there was that in utero connection with these two. There was a good connection. But I know Jesus knew that John was not going to see his ministry complete here on earth. But yet he still loved him. And wasn't going to talk ill-mannered of him or anything else. Now the Pharisees and the lawyers, they rejected the will of God. They just weren't, nope, they didn't like it. The religious leaders, they had little use for the repentance of John's baptism. They didn't want to deal with him. Their hearts were so hard towards John. So I don't think there's really any surprise that they were going to be hard toward Jesus either. They didn't like John, so they weren't going to like Jesus because John was about Jesus. Sorry, it's by association. Okay. Verses 31 through 32, Jesus admonishes those who refuse to be pleased by either his ministry or John. Jesus considered the nature of his current generation and how they were choosy and uncertain in receiving the messages. He says, we played a pipe for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not weep. No matter what, people were just not going to be satisfied. They were just going to be stubborn. They were not going to be satisfied with what John or Jesus did. There was always going to be at least one or two or five, ten complainers. That it was clear enough. Nothing was ever going to be good enough for them. Jesus knew this. That he still loved them. And in verse 33, it talks about he was a demon. The religious leaders saw John as a demon because he just was so out there. You know, sometimes we see individuals who are kind of out there with their style. I'm sure, you know, I remember one of my very first sermons I preached. I won't say where. I wore this really brightly colored blouse. And everything. And afterwards, a man said, I couldn't focus on your sermon because your top was so loud. So that's kind of how John was. He was so out there. People may not have really been able to see past the craziness, you know. Not necessarily crazy. He was just, he lived the life of the earth. He wasn't going to go out to Neiman Marcus and buy the newest, camel skin to wear. It was last year's donkey skin, you know. He wasn't couture. He was couture. Okay, I don't know. John was just different. But he and Jesus, they were just so connected in doing the same things. They were building the kingdom of God. Even though John didn't put it much into that terms, he was like, you need to follow the Messiah. Here it's all about the Messiah. And Jesus is like, no, the kingdom of God. Now in verse 34, a glutton, a wine bitterer, and a friend of the tax collectors. Woo! Jesus was telling the people, the religious leaders were saying this about him. Oh, you're friends with them? I hear kids in school say that. I can't believe you're friends with them. I hear adults saying that too, unfortunately. But Jesus was friends with the right people. He was friends with the people who didn't know everything, and he wanted them to know everything. He wanted to teach them about their sinful ways and help them turn from that and to follow God's way. He loved them no matter what. He cared, but he didn't say, oh, I'm not going to go talk to them because of who they are. I find some of the best conversations with people that are not quite accepted in society to be some of the best conversations. I don't even have this in my notes, but it makes me think of a young man named Mark who used to wander the streets here. And I had a little connection with Mark. And one day I stopped him and I said, Mark, you've been in the same shirt for 3 days. I said, let's get you a clean shirt. And I had some in the back of my car for my uncle. I was actually going to take somewhere that would take some extra clothing. It's before I knew about the clothes closet, Patsy, so don't be upset. I'm teasing there. But I just said, Mark, let's change your shirt. And of course, he just starts taking his clothes off right there in the middle of the street. And I said, Mark, I need to ask you something. Do you know who Jesus is? And for a man who was battling schizophrenia, stopped, looked at me clear as day and said, Mark knows Jesus and he's going to go live with him someday.
Amen.
And that made me feel so good to know that Mark knew Jesus or knows Jesus. And when I told my husband about that, he said, you got to be careful. And I said, no, those are the people that I want to reach. I want to make sure that people know Jesus. Don't be afraid to go up and talk to someone who you might be a little afraid of. You know why? Because you got God protecting you. Just remember that. That person just may need to be reminded that Jesus loves them. Ooh, I'm going to get back. Get on a soapbox on that one. Though John the Baptist was having some doubts about what Jesus was doing and who he truly was, because remember, again, he was in prison. And he was thinking that he should be rescued from prison. You know, let's take this political stance. Here I am, Herod's got me thrown in jail. But Jesus wanted John to realize he didn't come for that political reason. He came for the people. John didn't get to fully understand, like I said, Jesus' full ministry. He was beheaded soon after sending and hearing back from these disciples, by the way. Jesus loved John, and I feel that he understood where John was coming from because of his situation. But what about us today? Where do we stand? Do you get upset when things don't go according to the way that you think God should be doing them in your life? When we get news about a really good person passing away? Maybe when we face a medical issue that just takes our breath away? Maybe lose a job? Kind of get what I'm saying? Yeah, we enter into that John the Baptist mode and say, hey, what's up with this? Why are you fixing this, God? Folks, I did that just recently. Why aren't you fixing this? Well, we just have to be reminded. Jesus came to this earth and ministered to people knowing he was doing what he was doing for the betterment of man and for building God's kingdom. He came and he left examples for us to do for the generations to come. We know this verse 35, but wisdom is proved right by all her children. This evening, during our reflection time, I chose the song by Casting Crowns, Who Am I? This song immediately popped into my head as I was preparing for this sermon. We might ask, who are you when things aren't going quite right? But let me tell you, he knows exactly who you are. He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows exactly the outcome that's going to happen. God knew it at the beginning of time, and he knows it full well today. Sometimes we just have to be reminded of that. And you know what? It's all okay if we have that doubt. It's okay. Because he's going to love us no matter what. And he's going to be patient with us. And that's why we have to rely also on the Holy Spirit to guide us through that difficult time and just continue to call out to Him. I don't know if Pastor Carrie has my question available up there that I want you to kind of think about during our reflection time. This week, how can we help others know that Jesus loves them and isn't ignoring what they are going through in life? Kind of think about that. Let's go ahead and enter into our time of reflection. Let me just give us a word of prayer as we enter. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we know that sometimes we have doubts of exactly who you are. Maybe we're going through a dark time. Maybe we're just not quite sure of why our plans haven't been answered. But of course, Lord, we have to be slowly reminded, maybe thumped on the head and said, hey, I got this. I know my plans for you. I know them full well. Lord, just help us to focus on that daily. Help us to remember who you are. And in your name we pray. Amen.
We want to thank you for listening to this episode of The Jar with Pastors Michael and Carrie Rogers. If you'd like to support our mission, you can go to www.thejarministries.net and look for the Give button in the top right. Your sponsorship allows us to continue ministering to the least of us in our great city of Ardmore, Oklahoma. Thank you so much.
I am filled.